Okay, it is 4:00. I will call this meeting to order. Thank you all for, I want to welcome everybody to the Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission. Thank you all for coming. Just have a couple of first order of business here will be to approve the September 7th, 2023 meeting minutes, if there is a motion for that. Nick made a motion. Is there a second?
Eileen, second.
Nick made the motion and Eileen seconded, without objection. The meeting minutes for the September 7th, 2023 meeting are approved. Moving on to the regular agenda, we only have one item on the regular agenda. That's the petition of Visit Savannah for City Market sculptural letter installation, and we'll hear from staff, and then we'll hear from the petitioner.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting. The applicant is requesting approval for a sculptural letter installation at City Market in the vicinity of 232 West St. Julian Street and Jefferson Street. Per the applicant, the proposed SAV sculptural letter project is an ambitious endeavor that is set to become an iconic symbol in Savannah. Comprising the letters SAV, the acronym stands not only for the widely recognized and beloved hashtag for Savannah, but also represents the Savannah Airport Code. Crafted from aluminum or similar metal material, the letters will exude a sleek and modern appeal, capturing the essence of the city. The overall height of the letters is 4'9", and the overall width of the sculpture is 13'8", which will be set atop an aluminum mounting plate and bolted into the concrete. And then just to show some other images of the location, there's kind of some aerial views. And then view looking east and west. And on a map. The company that the applicant has proposed to use as a signature sign company, they are based out of Ohio, but have done projects throughout the U.S. and have over 30 years of professional experience. The applicant provided samples of this work, and the signature sign company website also shows their portfolio. So just to include that in the presentation, just similar type of projects. So, and then staff was able to confirm with the applicant that the installation would not affect any underground utilities or tree roots because of the way it'll be bolted into an area that doesn't have anything and won't be going far into the surface. So with that, staff recommends the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval to the Savannah City Council for the installation of the SAV sculptural letters at the proposed location in City Market near the intersection of West Julian Street and Jefferson Street as requested, because the project meets the standards in the master plan and guidelines for markers, monuments, and public art. Thanks, and I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Caitlin. I have one quick question, and maybe I missed something. But there is, in the additional, in the other business, there was the additional sculptural letter installation.
Yeah.
Can you explain why that's a separate thing, or where, so we're only talking about
Correct.
This one downtown?
So we're only talking about the one downtown. The other one that, here, let me.
And I'm sorry if I missed something on that. I just.
No. So
Clarify.
That is a state-owned property.
Gotcha.
So they went ahead and utilized their ability to opt out of the process. So that was the reasoning for that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, if you wanted to just.
They're relatively the same, right? I mean, they're.
Yeah, this
similar.
Is the mock-up for this location on the other side of the river.
So to be clear, we're not weighing in on this. This is just for informational purposes.
Correct. Yes, yes.
Okay, got it.
Since it was initially on the tentative agenda, but since that time.
Right.
They opted out.
And that was going to be my question, because I know that that's state-owned property. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes
Yep.
sense. Okay. Thanks, Caitlin. Any other questions of staff? Eileen?
Yeah, Eileen, are both of these the same, exactly the same?
Yes.
Sean?
Okay, there we go. All Apparently it's my first day today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So to make sure that I'm accurate, assuming this is approved, then that would be two SAV in the exact in the same city, right? Because this the one that's going on the state property and then this additional one as well.
Yes. So one would just be across the river.
Yeah, one's on Hutchinson Island.
Which is going to be part of the port soon anyway, so according to the news,
but we're not, but, right. but that's not we're, under our right, purview right. here, so.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Nick, did you have a question?
No. Okay.
Any other questions of staff? No other questions of staff. We can hear from the petitioner. If the petitioner is here to speak. How are you, sir?
Fine. Thank you. I'm Joe Marinelli. I'm president of Visit Savannah. This is an initiative from our organization that we approached the mayor and city manager about probably 9 or 10 months ago with the idea. The idea simply came from traveling around the country and seeing similar signs like this in cities and universities and shopping complexes all over the country. And it spurred the idea that maybe we do something like that's similar here. The two locations that we picked, the convention center lawn, and that the orientation of that picture is an estimate right now. It would be that footprint, but we have to kind of measure it up. The idea was, you know, with a little over 200,000 convention attendees coming a year and utilizing that facility and, you know, sometime early next summer that convention center expansion will be completed. So more and larger conventions will be coming. It'd be an opportunity for a terrific photo op for those folks to capture the background and the city skyline and the river and maybe container ships going by or whatever. When we looked at this side of the river, which is what we're here to talk about, we did explore a number of different locations. We looked at options along River Street. We looked at options at Plant Riverside District. We looked at options in the Eastern Wharf area. We had conversations with the city manager about Forsyth Park. And due to a lot of conversation and debate and sort of weighing the benefits, that led to an opportunity for me to approach the management folks at City Market and ask them if they'd have an interest as well. As you know, our data shows, our visitor research shows that the three most popular reasons that people visit Savannah is generally to visit historic landmarks and neighborhoods, our culinary experience and shopping. And every year those are 1, 2, 3 in some order. Sometimes culinary is number one sometimes. But, so, you know, we approached the folks at City Market, with the design and the measurements. We looked at a number of different, locations in the City Market area. We talked to the city about Ellis Square and ultimately settled on this location because we felt that, the background would, capture the essence of the beauty of City Market. Not only in its rawest form, meaning every single day, but during, you know, the decorated times of the year, like the holidays and so forth. And as you can see in the picture, you know, it's not intrusive in any way to traffic flow and so forth. And we've talked through all of that, with the City Market leadership. Bottom line on this is very simple. It's almost 2024. We live in a very Instagrammable world. For good or for bad, but it's reality. In today's world, everybody wants to take a picture or a video of where they are. Our job at Visit Savannah is to market this destination to bring visitors and visitor spending to this community. And if 1 or 10 or 100 or 10,000 people take a picture and a video with the SAV and send that to their friends around the region, around the country, around the world, it increases the overall exposure for our destination. And you know, I think some folks might look at that and say, you know, well, that just means more tourists. Well, it means more than more tourists. And by the way, we call them visitors. We don't call them tourists because they're visitors to our city. But it means people that will look at our community to buy a home or a second home or a third home, and people that will consider expanding their business in or relocating their businesses here. My friend Trip Tollison, the CEO of CETA, will be very quick to tell you that every economic development opportunity that they bid on begins with a visit to the city. And people fall in love with the city, like I'm sure all or most of us in this room. So, you know, we felt that this was a sort of updated and modern way to market the destination in a very subtle way. Our organization is paying for the signage and, you know, just working with the two locations as far as the installation of it and so forth. So, I'll finish with where I started, and that is we sat down with city leadership right at the beginning and said, hey, we have an idea and we'd like to throw it at you. And they embraced it from the beginning, got excited about it, and encouraged us to pursue the effort. And it's taken 9 or 10 months to get in front of you, but it's something we feel good about. And I think, is, you know, we can look at this as a historic destination, but we also, in all due respect to, my friends in, Colonial Williamsburg, we're not Colonial Williamsburg. There, we want to keep this destination fresh as well, and this is one way to convey that message to people around the country and around the world. So, if you have any questions, I'd be happy. But I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. I was gonna ask, but it sounds like you've been talking to city leaders, and they've all.
It started with them, yes, sir.
Yeah,
it started
right.
with them. Eddie Grant is here from the city. Eddie has helped shepherd this thing from day one when Jay Melder pushed it down the road and said, Eddie, manage this for me. And Eddie's done an exceptional job of helping us to navigate and learn how we would ultimately get here in front of you.
And just – and maybe this was a clarification for staff, but this is private property. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the one at the convention center is state property, right?
Right.
And then this is
but the city market is private property. The reason I ask is that it wouldn't have to go before city council. It would.
Yeah, the city owns it, but they lease it to city market.
Gotcha. So it would after it goes through us, it does have to go through city council. I always like to clarify that because sometimes if it's on private property, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to go through city council. So city council will end up weighing on this as well. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Eileen?
Hi, Eileen Baker.
Hi, Eileen.
I have seen this sort of marketing in other cities all in the United States, but I'm curious as to why, what thought went into the font or the design or, you know, how did y'all come up with this particular
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, well, it's one of the two logo options that our organization, Visit Savannah, uses. We have sort of the classic Visit Savannah with the Savannah version of a fleur-de-lis type of application, and then a simpler, more modern version of the logo, which is SAV. We picked up on it as somebody said it is the airport's three-letter city code, and so our ad agency used that as the way to design that logo for this. So, you know, and to your point, we've seen these all over the country. You saw the couple from Cleveland, and sorry, being a Clevelander, I'm sorry that every picture was a Cleveland picture or Ohio picture, but you know, we felt like, you know, Savannah, spelling out the word Savannah would just make it way too big. And you know, this is a simpler version. It's a version of our logo. It was an easy application. And so
that is the same font that you use for
yes, ma'am.
All your branding.
Yes, okay. ma'am. Exactly. And, okay. you know, one of the, as we all know, one of the most important parts of branding is consistency, right? So okay. whether we're at a trade show or, you know, marketing in, Condé Nast magazine, you know, we're using this logo. And so you have that consistency and familiarity. Yes, ma'am.
Catherine Kaufman.
Catherine and Sean.
A couple of questions. Yes, ma'am, please. Who's going to clean it when it gets graffitied?
Yeah.
And take the dents out when someone decides to beat it with something, because that will happen.
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize. Okay, so the agreement that I came to with the convention center management and city market management was that we would pay for the design, manufacture, delivery of the signs. Once they are installed, we will essentially gift them, one to the convention center, one to the city market management, for those two entities to care for them when people do whatever they're going to do to them. There is a texture on the outside of this that, for lack of a better word, because this is outside of my world, but it's almost like the same type of texture as a pickup truck bed liner, if you will, that is somewhat indestructible. Okay, I say somewhat because I don't really know what that means, but that resistance and things and so forth. But as it relates to cleaning them when they need to be cleaned and when people urinate on them and all the things that will inevitably happen, those two entities will take the responsibility of keeping them maintained and cleaned.
Do we have documentation of that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I was going to actually ask that question if nobody else did. This is the sort of unsexy business that we do here, mm-hmm. which is, and we've run into this problem quite a lot, actually, which is where something gets installed and then someone's supposed to take care of it and then they don't. Sure. And then it's like, and this is not pointed to you. It just happens that something gets messed up and it's like, well, this person was supposed to do it or this person was supposed to do it. And then it doesn't get done. Yeah. And the agreement is fine. Is this in writing?
Well, it is in writing between the two of us. It's not part of any of the official documentation. I'm happy to share that. We have the general manager of City Market here, and so.
Okay, then that might be a question for them too. Yeah. But I would I think we can drill down a little bit more on that because it's important. I mean, it's going to happen.
Guaranteed.
Something's going to happen to it, and it just needs to get cleaned. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. So kind of piggybacking on that question, which I know we'll get more insight into shortly. I'm wondering what the thought process was for that particular location. I know you mentioned different areas throughout the city, whether it be Forsyth, Park, or some of the other different locations, but you mentioned that it's not going to be obtrusive to or not going to be taking up any space. As somebody who goes to City Market quite frequently, I can tell you right now that's going to be very much so in the way. My immediate thought process is the very first Friday or Saturday night, it's going to be knocked down because of that many people that go through it. And or even worse, it'll be just completely destroyed. And here you are, you've spent all this money to have it in put up and it's already destroyed. Now the one that's only this one for City Market. So my initial question is why this particular location?
Why this particular location at City Market?
City Market, period.
Well, like I said, we looked at a lot of different venues
the
city.
I heard all of that. My question though is why City Market with all of the foot traffic and all of the extreme high propensity for damage, vandalism, exactly what we just talked about previously. Yeah, I know somebody else is going to be taking care of it, but it's not a question of if, it's a matter of when, right? My guts, I would be willing to bet within 3 months the thing's vandalized. So again, why City Market?
I think in part you answered your own question because of the foot traffic there and the potential of people taking pictures with it and selfies and videos with the vibrancy of City Market happening around it. I know that City Market itself is going, has begun a bit of an evolution in terms of where they're going for, you know, the years ahead. And, you know, ideally that, you know, that this is part of the evolution of City Market. But what we worked with the management of the City Market, and looked at a number of different locations and sort of landed on this location because, as you can see in the picture here, there's plenty of room on either side of it to walk around. You made the comment it will get knocked down. Well, I don't think it will because of the way that it will be installed. So I guess I could never say never. But the design is such that it would not be knocked down. You know, will it be vandalized? Well, again, I could ask the City Market representative to come up here and talk about the security that they have for their facility. I know that SPD is there during peak times. I know they've increased the lighting during the busiest times of City Market at night. So is something going to happen? Yeah, I can't say that it won't, but you know, we landed on that location in a joint effort between the City Market leadership and ourselves.
Yeah, it still just boggles my mind. Like, I get it. Yes, it would be great, but I don't want to belabor that. So thank you.
Okay. Lisa, do you have the question?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Lisa D. Watson. I'm also from Northeast Ohio, so
where?
Canton.
Yeah, good.
I just, you know, the Rust Belt workers are going to make it stand, I think so. Anyway, that said, I do like your sample maintenance on the petition. So they talk about how they're going to take care of it, and we don't often see that, so I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I would second that, too.
I do, as a sculptor myself, when I was looking at this, all I could see was the back side of it, mm-hmm. which is very bizarre for a sculpture. So I'm wondering if there's a consideration of maybe something on the back to, so people aren't walking down the Market Street scene going, what is that? And we're going to be seeing that from the river now too, which is really bizarre to me. So if there, you know, ideas or like a map of a savanna on the back or a hanging garden on the back or something to block that, as a three-dimensional sculptor, I just had to bring that to the attention. But I think that's all I have to say. If you have any comments.
No, we did consider that with both locations and really saw it sort of as the opposite, as people looking at it and saying, oh, what's that? Let's go check that out. Let's go see that. Let's go have our picture taken with that. So we did consider that in the debate. If you're walking through City Market and you see that and you see other people going to it, you know, chances are it's going to draw eyeballs and then, you know, attract people and, hey, let's get our picture taken and let's do a selfie and so forth. So we did think through that, just like the cleaning process that you talked about a minute ago.
Any other questions of the petitioner? Sean?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This might actually be for staff, but I know it's going to go in conjunction with what you had just said. So just to be clear, the City of Savannah is not going to be responsible to maintain this, assuming that it is passed, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Any other questions of the petitioner?
Catherine? I have a quick question. When parents put their child up on top of this and the kid falls and breaks his arm, who's going to be held liable for that? Because that will happen. I don't mean to be doom and gloom,
yeah.
But I've got three little grandsons who would clamor all over this thing. And we have some, frankly, irresponsible parents out there that either won't be watching their children or actually put their children on top of the thing. And so are they going to sue the city? They're going to sue the city market? Who are they going to sue? I'm serious.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I suppose people could put their children on Johnny Mercer's head as well, and they could fall. But Johnny Mercer's there, and he's not at the moment, interestingly enough, but he's coming back soon. I suppose that could happen with any monument or any set of steps or, you know, even the raised gardens at Ellis Square that kids are constantly running around on. I don't have an answer for that.
Any other questions of the petitioner? I have two quick comments. These are the questions that we have to ask sometimes. I think they're very reasonable questions. One point I would make about one thing that comes up often whenever we talk about a mural, often, so it's very important for us to consider that this thing is going to get graffitied or vandalized. At the same time, there's also, I think everybody from when we do murals, a common complaint is, oh, that's going to get vandalized. Well, that's going to get vandalized. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. It just means we should think about it. And it always seems like that's a question. And I feel like that's a fair question. But I don't think that people are as terrible as that. Like, I don't think everyone's always going to just break something if it gets put up. That's just my two cents. I just have to, it just seems like there's always there's the naysayer that says, well, when we do a graffiti that's spray painted up there, that's just going to bring vandalization. And actually what the research has found is it actually decreases vandalism. So I don't know that this thing is automatically going to get destroyed as soon as it gets put up. But I just wanted to consider that. I mean, hopefully people down at City Market aren't such animals as they're going to like tear this up as soon as it gets put up. That's all I have to say.
Well, and if I may, and thank you for that. Again, this coating, this resin coating, and I think it's in the specs. It doesn't roll off my tongue, but this coating is designed to not, you know, to be cleanable, to be maintainable, I guess. I mean, just again, like similar to the inside of the bed of a pickup truck that takes a beating, right? Think about today's pickup trucks or, you know, many of our friends have, you know, pickup trucks, bed liners of pickup trucks take a beating with bricks and rocks and so forth. That's why they're designed that way. So we did think through those things. I think the questions have been fair and reasonable, and I get it. I can assure you we didn't do this haphazardly. We did go into it with 9 or 10 months of discussion and debate and working our way through it. And, frankly, I'm excited about the project. We have millions of people visiting our city every day. The economic vitality in this community, is unmatched to anything in its history. But it's not about the last 300 years. It's about the next 300. The sign ideally will last for maybe 15 or 20, but it's also.
I thought you were going to say 300. Yeah, I'm like, well, slow down.
I stopped short of that. But at the same time, in all due respect, it's not here for all eternity, right? It's bolted to a base. And if it did become problematic for anybody, then, you know, we'd have to look at a different solution.
That's a fair point. And I do think these are all fair considerations too. I mean, you want it somewhere that it's going to be seen. You don't want to put it somewhere where nobody's seeing it, but then at the same time, you want to consider these safety issues. And I mean, let's be fair, it is probably going to get dinged up at some point. Mm-hmm. So we just need to consider that. But thank you. Appreciate it. If the city market individual, yes, ma'am. Was that all, Joe? Did you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
Sure. I guess all I would add.
I'm sorry. If you could just say your name.
Yes. Kimberly Phillips, and I'm the managing director of City Market. I think the only thing I would add, I echo everything Joe said. We feel like it's an exciting project for City Market. We do have a full-time maintenance staff
that it will be their responsibility to make sure that this stays clean. So with that, that's, you know, I'll take any questions, but that's where we stand with it.
That's all. I mean, that's all. I kind of feel like I'm a broken record, but that's something that, yes, sir. We'll get to the public comment and just briefly. I'll give you a chance to speak. But we just want to make sure that like that's a clear delineation that you all will be taking care of.
Sure. Absolutely. No,
that's all the questions I had. Does anyone else have a question? Okay. Well, if not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there's anyone else here to speak, from the petitioner's side, Joe, is there anyone else with your group that wanted to speak?
No, just a representative from the city.
Okay. So if not, I mean, if anyone else, if any staff had any questions, I can open up to public comment. In that case, if you're here to speak for or against this petition, you're okay. Well, so for this petition specifically, if there's anyone here in the room to speak on this, please, you can come up to the podium if you like. If there's anyone online, you can use the raise your hand feature and we'll wait for you there. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Andrew Jones. I'm chair of the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition, a 501c3 organization devoted to protecting our downtown National Historic Landmark District. Please deny this project for three reasons. It is inconsistent with the Oglethorpe Plan. Its materials are not compatible with the historic materials of the surrounding structures, and this is not a monument, but rather a sign advertising the tourism lobby. The Oglethorpe Plan is what makes the city truly unique. The plan is protected. Section 7810A1 of the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance, also known as the Streets and Lanes Provision, requires that new development preserve and restore the Oglethorpe Plan. This proposal does not do that. While East St. Julian Street is closed to vehicular traffic, it remains a street. It is called an East-West Connector Street under the Oglethorpe Plan. This sign obstructs the street and gives a false impression of history by suggesting that the street is not actually a street, but it, as the applicants describe it, their courtyard. The National Park Service Great Savannah is being in an endangered status, and in its letter to the MPC of September 26, 2022, it spoke specifically about that streets and lane provision in the ordinance, and it expressed concerns about projects that alter the discernibility of streets and lanes. Regarding its materials and designs, the sign is completely unrelated to its historic surrounding of mid-19th century Greek Revival and Victorian masonry structures. Aluminum is not appropriate in this context. Third, this is not a statue. It's not a fountain. It's not a historical marker. It's a sign used by the tourism lobby to advertise itself. Note who the maker is. It's not an artist. It's not a sculptor. It is the Signature Sign Company, the leader in the sign industry. Approving this sign under the guise that it is a monument opens the floodgates to overscale signage throughout the district. Signage is regulated under the ordinance. This project does not comply with those regulations and is using the misnomer of so-called public art to attempt to get around the requirements of the ordinance. Please reject this proposal.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else to speak with? Yes, ma'am. You took the long way around.
If you're late.
Well, let's just get it right there. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm from Northeast Ohio, too. My name is
Marvin. You're in the South now. Just kidding.
I'm kidding, honey. And I'm trying real hard to learn how to be a Southerner. My name is Artis Wood, and I am chair of Scenic Chatham, an affiliate of Scenic America. I'm a member of the Downtown Neighborhood Association and the Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. The MPC staff report supports this sign application, even though they have overlooked two important standards of the code, which are, one, the location of public art in the landmark district should respect the Oglethorpe Plan, particularly in terms of historic viewsheds and sightlines. The area of City Market, where the proposed sculpture would be placed, is respectful of the Oglethorpe plan and would not impose upon historic viewsheds and sight lines. Granted, four whole tithing lots were sacrificed to make this fair-like atmosphere to attract tourism when it just began, against the wishes, by the way, of a strong preservationist like Milsby Lane the Fourth. Among his achievements, he gilded the dome of City Hall, gave us Bull Street Project with brick sidewalks and Bishop Crook Street lamps, restored John Norris's Jingle Bells Church, wrote many first-class books on architecture, published by his Beehive Press, and generously funded the Savannah Tree Foundation, just to name a few things that he did for us. But we certainly now don't need to attract more tourists, in my opinion. 13 million annually in our town for of 150,000, I think, is quite enough. And we are just, I think, I know the job of some people here is to bring more and more and more. But there is such a thing as enough and even too much. Number two, the overall height of the letters is 4 feet 9, as you heard, and 13 feet 8 inches long. 13 8 inches between these two. That is the width. The height is right here on me. So that gives you, I don't know the thickness, but I imagine they're quite thick as well. And my objections to this proposal are, number one, this size for this space is humongous. City Market is often packed with people, which this sign would displace, confuse, and used as a photo op, which is, I guess, the purpose of it to begin with, and would cause many to try to clear the area for taking pictures around it. Number two, the application itself shows this to be a generic setup, as in many other tourist sites. If we need a backdrop that says Savannah, let's pick one that will be unique to our city. I see this number three as a safety hazard where lots of people will climb on it and or walk into it inadvertently. Number four, there is nothing historic about this sign. So please deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
My name is Steve Edwards, and I'm representing the Downtown Neighborhood Association today. We weren't notified of the proposed sign, presumably because there aren't that many residents downtown or in that area, and the area is already heavily burdened by visitors anyway. So we wouldn't normally be involved, but in this case, we would like to make a couple of comments. In the first place, it's hard to follow the two previous speakers because everything they've said are things that we generally agree with, and they were very well stated. We have to start by asking why. It seems as if this is an unnecessary addition to the area, particularly because although it's being paid for by Visit Savannah is funded by taxpayers. It's funded by the hotel and motel tax, and that we feel that this is money that would be far better spent on other purposes, the revival of the ambassador program and a number of other initiatives that are described in the recently released RHI report. We also think that, I hope you won't hold this against me. I come from the Rust Belt as well, Michigan. And the only examples we've seen are from places that don't have the independent draw of an historic district. And as others have pointed out, this is anything but historic. A lot of the work I do for the DNA is appearing before the Historic District Board of Review. And one of the most frequently discussed standards from the ordinances, as Mr. Jones has described, is visual compatibility. And this is not visually compatible with anything that I'm aware of remotely in the area. It's a sleek aluminum sign that really doesn't reflect the aesthetic of the downtown historic district. It's almost intentionally jarring. So we just don't think that it's necessary. We don't think that it's appropriate. We would also ask that if it is approved, that although that I'm sure that everyone has their best intentions, that there be a legally binding obligation on the part of City Market to maintain it. Although there is an agreement at this point, apparently between Visit Savannah and the market, that doesn't run to anyone other than Visit Savannah. And if there is a failure to follow through on that, it's going to be hard for the city to follow up on it or enforce it. But I think that Ms. Watson's observation as well, that it's going to be very odd looking at it coming from the west when most of it that is, I'm sorry, coming from the east, when that's where many or most of the visitors will be seeing it. I'll close by saying that many of our members are ambivalent about this because while they don't like the sign, they agree with what it stands for, stop all visitors. So we'd like to state our opposition to it.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here in person to speak on for or against this petition? If not, or if there's anyone online?
No.
No one online. In that case, we can entertain board discussion. I think, a lot of decent points were made. I have, go ahead, Sean. Nick, you haven't spoken. Go ahead, Nick. Make sure your mic is on.
I think we need to talk to a lawyer, a city lawyer. I mean, they brought up some legal questions here that I was unaware of. And I think we need some clarification.
I was going to ask, I think totally trust the agreement, but I think it's a fair point that there needs to be some. It's just, this is sort of the kind of boring stuff that we need to be here for, is just that there is some sort of, legally binding agreement I wasn't aware that the city owned that property, but they're leasing it to you all. So I don't know what kind of legal complications that, it's hard. Sean, go ahead. I had a couple questions of staff, actually.
I also had thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also had a few questions for, with staff as well as the application. So go ahead and you finish.
Whatever you don't ask, I'll ask.
Oh, great. Okay. So, first off, let me preface this. I like the sign. I think it's a good idea. Again, I've got issues with where it's placed. Now, I'm not from Ohio. I grew up in Virginia. So when you mentioned Colonial Williamsburg, I'm like, oh, great. So now everybody from Virginia is going to come down and look at it from the backside. Just as long as it's not any of those Virginia Tech Hokies, go Hoos. So my question, Caitlin, while you're up there, can you go back up to the drawing that has the dimensions? There was one that had from a aerial view, and I think it's 5. Okay, that's not it. Because basically what I'm wondering is how much space, if it's, call it just under 14 feet wide, right? How much space is going to be on each side of the – how much available space is going to be remaining once, assuming that this goes in, right? So, yeah, let's say that the entire width of it is 40 feet or whatever. You've got 14 feet right down smack dab in the middle that's basically gone. Then you've got it just looks like it's going to be a giant impediment of traffic. And I don't want to isolate out the heavily busy tourist holidays like New Year's, Halloween, the holiday season, or even this really small one that happens in Savannah once a year. It's called St. Patrick's Day. I don't want to keep harping on that sign is going to be broken. I'm sure that the Rust Belt can build a great sign, whatever, right? But the sheer influx of people that are, it's going to make it very, very expensive to keep maintaining it. I know that there's the agreement, and I agree. Yeah, we got to have some sort of legal thing, because a handshake agreement is only as good as the handshake agreement between the two people, and then it's gone, what have you, right? So my question also for staff is, this is being applied under which guideline for the master plan?
It's considered public art.
Public art.
Yeah.
Okay.
The question had been asked in the early stages of this, whether this would be assigned or would come to HSMC, and it was this is what was the determination was.
Yeah, that was a clarification I was going to ask about too, because one of the commenters mentioned a sign, and the signage does have, there are different parameters if it's determined to be a sign. If it's public art, there are different requirements for that.
And so with it being public art, it can't be advertising, right? There can't be any advertising for any organization, correct?
Yes.
I know that it could go down a really steep rabbit hole, right? Now, this, you could look at it from both sides. It's exactly, it's hashtag SAV, right? Heck, somebody stands in front of it, boom, you've got a great advertisement for WSAV. I got a lot of...
Let's stick with it being public art, because I mean...
But even then, if it's public art, then you have to worry about it being an advertisement. And yes, I know the it's not actually saying, hey, come, it's not actually saying go End Market or go Thompson & Thompson or go Canada's or whatever company, but it's SAV, which is the logo for
Savannah.
So,
well, okay. It's,
yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm done.
Okay. Well, was there a question in there?
There was, but I got so many different thoughts going through my head, so it's...
Let us, because I have a feeling you're going to have to respond to a couple of things. So can you hold on a second? Okay, I will let you go. I will give you a chance. Did you have a question? Because I had a question, Joe, for you, but I didn't want to keep going back and forth. Eileen, did you have a question?
Well, I did. It has to do with the public art or a sign dilemma that I don't think will completely answer here. But it's my, you know, I was curious if there was an artist group or any artist involved in the selection of it. I know that it's fabricated by a sign company, but it's a typical font. Right, it wasn't an artist designed font.
That's right.
Okay.
It was our advertising agency that came up with this design for the two interpretations.
Joe, go ahead and come up to the mic because it'd be better. Sorry, I didn't want to. one of the difficulties I'll point out, we have had to deny public art downtown because there was just so much pushback about it. That is something that we've had to deal with for a while. And there's one in particular that I was really sad. I did not know it was going to be controversial, but, the entire room was against the project. And that's basically our role here. One of our main roles is as a public comment forum. And it's really hard to approve something when the entire building doesn't want it, when the entire neighborhood doesn't want it. I'm not saying that's the case here. It's just something that we have to take into consideration. Did anyone else have any questions? I had a couple. I had a few. And this is actually, Caitlin, maybe a question for you. First of all, was there any other public comment for or against this? I didn't see anything in the application.
We had no Ms. Wood, who spoke earlier, sent something in ahead of time, but that was it.
So the people here are the ones. Okay. Joe, I was going to ask you. You didn't fabricate this already, did you? might be a problem.
The order has been placed and a deposit has been sent.
Because I was just going to ask you, I mean, what is your, I mean, this of course has to go to city council, but I mean, what is your position on considering different areas to put this in? Or, I mean, I will play devil's advocate. I keep looking at this. There's a cart right behind the SAV. And I mean, that's not destroyed. I mean, I'm presuming that's been there a while and people haven't taken it apart.
Nor is the, American Prohibition's card that sits out there for all of the same holidays and busy weekends that Sean talked about, nor has the city market clock, which sits in the next block, been destroyed or anything. So
it is a consideration. Again, I'm kind of playing both sides here, but I mean, I'm just bringing up those questions. What is your openness to considering different locations or that sort of thing? Or is this kind of set in your mind, set in stone?
Well, frankly, and go back to the question you asked me earlier, we did consider many locations in this process. We looked at multiple locations on River Street. We looked at locations at Plant Riverside. We met specifically with Christian Sotile and Richard Kessler and his general manager about that platform that has been discussed for Waving Girl.
When the Waving Girl is going to, yeah.
You know, so we looked at a number of places, I think, let's call it four or five places along River Street. And felt that with one sort of with the river as a backdrop on one side, that we would look at a different location, that as a couple of people have pointed out would have high foot traffic and accomplish the mission of helping promote the city. So it's not something that I want to do, frankly, and would rather not do. We've done that work already. We found an appropriate suitor that is willing to take on the responsibilities that we've talked about as it relates to care and maintenance. I understand the request for, you know, formalizing that in some fashion, and that's easy to do. But it's not something that I want to do.
I mean, the Waving Girl is another good example. I mean, that was one that I think some folks here on the board maybe didn't object to before the entire room, like, almost tore the place up because they didn't want it to move. And it stayed where it was. I mean, I think there was a few reasonable questions. I mean, I'm putting this to the rest of the board too. I mean, the issue of visual compatibility is one of our criteria that we do consider. I mean, I think that's a subjective thing. It is not within our purview to redesign the art that comes in front of us, but I do think that the input that we give is, you know, coming from a thoughtful place. Visual compatibility is in the master plan as part of the requirements, for public art, which this is what we are considering this as a public art piece. The issues of the street and lane are an interesting point as well, which I didn't think about. I mean, it is a sort of common area. I mean, I think that's a fair point to bring up, but it also does feel like a common area there. I don't know.
You know, I look at this sign and I think this picture really depicts it very, very well. If you look at the lines that on either side of it, and I don't know, what is the width of that block? Do you know? So it must be 15 feet. I think Ms. Wood measured it at a little over 14 feet or whatever. But so it really sort of frames up that there's the same block to the left of it, the same block to the right of it, and then brick sidewalk up to the storefronts beyond that. So in terms of flow of people, you know, we didn't feel like it was prohibitive. To Sean's question earlier about advertising, we did not do hashtag SAV on purpose because that would have driven folks to the Visit Savannah website, and then that would have been an advertisement in a way of our organization. This is an advertisement, if you will, of our city. It's the city we all live and love. And to the point of local taxpayer dollars, there's, you know, unless a local taxpayer is staying in a hotel and paying, you know, a hotel motel fee, local taxpayers are not funding this in any way.
That's a fair point, but it is tax money.
And it's dollars.
I mean, it is tax money that's so.
And it's dollars that are entrusted to us to make good decisions about how to market the.
And I say that with respect, Joe, but.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, but. You know, we, it's our job to market the destination and frankly, we do that very, very well. And the results speak for themselves over the last 17 years. There are no examples of me or our organization in the 17 years that I've been here of, inappropriate use of how we spend those marketing dollars that the city, county and state entrust us to use for our mission.
Lisa?
Was there any consideration hiring a local artist with that 200,000? Because, boy, I'll tell you, the local artists really need the work.
It was, you know, it was a design that we had. Again, it was... It was an idea that came out of the inspiration of, you saw the Cleveland sign, you saw the Ohio sign. There's dozens and dozens. In many cases, in examples, and we could pull those signs back up, but they tend to capture the logo of some other marketing entity. So we just did the same thing. This was not an intentional, let's go, bid this out and get creative. We had a design that we seemed to think that represented our city and accomplished the mission that we set out to do.
I was going to ask the same question. I always have to advocate for local artists and local businesses, and it's always good. And Eileen mentioned that this is a standard font.
Is the largest business unit of the Savannah Chamber of Commerce. We endorse supporting the members that support us in any way, in every way that we can. That's not always possible, but we understand the importance of supporting local business. We do it every day by driving $4.4 billion in visitor spending to our community.
Sorry you're in such the hot seat, Joe. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you had mentioned previously that there's a carriage. Well, that's a horse-drawn carriage, and those things are moving constantly.
That's so, not a horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah,
that's
just you can see the little logo the horse, but
okay.
What
I stand corrected.
So I don't think the horse is hooked up at this time, but
that's their sales location.
Yeah.
Yes. It's okay. A kiosk.
Thank you. So regarding I know we're in board discussion right now. I can't get around the fact that this is going to be an art is very, very subjective. You can basically call a blank wall art, right? So I don't want to go down that road. I just think that this is not ripe because we don't have the legal agreement. I don't think we as a board can approve this yet. I just don't think it's ripe to have all of for it to be approved for us to be able to vote on it. So I make a motion to table this until we have that legal document saying that, yeah, that's going to be it is. Now.
Okay. Well, we've run into this problem. I'm not saying that's not valid, but we've run into this problem before where we've asked a petitioner to go back. Now, if he goes back, is the understanding that we're going to approve it or what? Because if they go back and do that and they come back here, they're going to have the expectation we're going to approve it.
I think we need to discuss whether
this is going to get approved or not, or if that's the one thing that's standing in the way.
I will say, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No,
I remember
go ahead.
Those exact one of the exact situations. It was, I think that was actually the one where I was told that I hate art and this entire commission hates art by the Savannah Morning News. And I was quoted as saying that art is murder or whatever, which I did not say, just that particular person.
Okay, let's stay on the target here.
So, The answer is we can't say whether or not we're going to approve it or not because it hasn't met all of the requirements is what we're saying. So we can't say that even if it – we can't say that, oh, you have to do this and then you'll be approved. We can't say that. That's not how – and Pam, have I acted on that one? We can't say that, oh, yeah, hey, go – I'm going to just make this up. Go get 17 gallons of ice cream. Then you bring those gallons of ice cream back and then we can – that's a bad one because that actually makes it look immoral, but you can't, we can't say that, right? It, me personally, I have my own views and I pretty much know how I want to vote on it no matter what, but I don't think that this is right because we don't have that. We just have a handshake agreement saying that, oh, that so-and-so is going to be responsible for it. That's why I think that it's not
that's
right to do
fair
it.
Fair point. Well, there is a motion on the table. I mean, is that, curious about what the rest of the board thinks. So we're not doing the public comment at this point. I'm sorry. There is a motion on the table though. I mean, there is a discussion. We can have discussion about it. I mean, thoughts? Second? I don't know. I just want to interject that out of respect to the petitioner, I see a lot of shaking heads because so it almost feels like there is not a lot of support to this. I don't know. We did have a lot of public comment that was against this. So I don't, what do you all feel? I'm not voting on this. So Nick,
we have just too many questions we need answered.
Okay.
And you know, that's why we need a legal counsel and possibly some others.
Okay. Are there other questions that we need to answer with this? And I'm not trying to, I just want to make sure that we're covering all the things so they don't come back. And then we're like, oh, and then you need to do this other thing too. And then they go and then come back. You know what I mean?
And that's completely different from what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
Which is, yeah, let's get all of the, these are what we need answered. And so my two questions that I want answers to are one, that legal document. Two, how much space is actually going to be available on each side, which is essentially what is the negative? I know, and I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Kimber, I knew it started with a K. Watch, you probably spell it with a C now. And she had said she believes it's like 20 feet wide or something like that, or 15.
The side or the courtyard?
The courtyard.
We need you to come
yeah,
up.
So, right.
We need you to come up to the mic and speak, please, because this
yeah,
is being recorded.
Sorry, I don't mean to call you on the spot.
No, it's all good. I will have to get that information
yeah,
for you. I do not have it.
And so let's, just for argument's sake, the signs call it 14 feet. There's 15 total feet of space. Like, it's just 1 foot for to get people by.
Clearly there's not 15 feet.
I know that, but I'm just
okay.
saying that.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I also want an answer
okay.
to is, how much space is actually there and how much of it is available? So for example, if that's where on the side just outside of this picture, there's and I don't think this is the case, but if there's a down ramp, which you can't get people by because they're going to somewhere else, then that's not usable space, right?
Okay.
So what is
so the question is how much more space
there is. I believe
that
the courtyard is 53 feet, but I want to
right.
get back with you on that because I do not want to speak out of turn.
Maybe take a picture with a wider lens or something.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but not just how wide it is, but also, so for example, those things
Excuse me. I just want to make sure we can hear. Okay, go ahead.
The tree, the benches around the tree, let's say those are 4 feet, so then that takes off. So from, let's go off of the 53 foot, now we're down to 49 feet. Take off 14 feet, whatever that is, 30, I can't do math off the top of my head, but that's what I want to know is essentially what is the usable space around it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Anything else? Are those the two questions?
Those are my two main ones.
Does anyone else have any questions to clarify? I mean, the one I'm broken record, but the maintenance issue, I think having a legal documentation for that would be my biggest concern. Nick.
Well, I neglected to write them down because I neglected to bring a pen. There were a lot of legal questions that have been expressed here.
There was also the location. Somebody brought up the location of public art in the Oglethorpe district that is a lane, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are any legalities, a street. I don't know if there are legalities that prevent that. I don't know offhand.
First examples, I quoted them, 7, 8, 10, A, 1.
I get it. But I mean, obviously, an emergency vehicle is not going to be able to drive through that. But I understand that. I understand. Okay. So that's another question. Are there others? Other legal questions that we need clarification?
No, there are many expressed. All I can remember. As I said, I forgot my pens.
I wrote down that it was aluminum signage. I mean, I don't know that there is legality preventing aluminum signage.
Mr. Monroe, I'll make sure I get those to you.
Pardon?
I'll make sure I get them to you from the tape.
Okay, thank you.
And could you please ask the public to please recognize that this is a professional environment and that we do not need the public to speak out because
the only people that should be speaking, please, are at the podium. So that way we can hear everything that's going on. I did not know this was going to be as controversial as this, but sometimes it happens. Anything going downtown, I probably don't even have to tell you this, Joe, but I mean, the historic district people are very involved. And sometimes this is the sort of thing that happens.
Well, I live in the district, and I don't mind seeing new things being put in it. I would mind seeing old things put away. But we should be – I live in Williamsburg, God's sake. You know, we should not be afraid of something new. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm endorsing this sign necessarily. We should be a little more flexible or try to be flexible.
Lisa or Eileen, did you have any other clarifications or questions? Are you clear? I think what we need to do is get back to you with the clarifications that we need. Does that make sense?
Sure. That's fine. Great. And, you know, for the comment of, you know, we live in the city, well, you know, it's my job to sell the city, and I care about it as much as everybody else in this room. We are in this together, and so we are not looking to destroy anything. In fact, we're trying to enhance our beautiful city, and so we appreciate the opportunity. We'll wait to hear back from you, and we'll respond accordingly.
Thank you for being receptive to the feedback, Joe.
Yeah.
There is a motion on the table. Sean made the motion to – could you repeat the motion? I'm sorry.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I make a motion to table this until we have the the answers to the questions that have been stated as well as will be provided shortly by the awesome Bree.
So the motion is to table this in order for more clarification from.
Is that to table or continue it to a date specific? Let's be clear.
I think continue is probably the more correct. Right, Pam? What's the difference?
What's the correct answer? Chocolate ice cream.
I think continuing it is probably the
continue.
Okay. Then I continue it. Make a motion to continue.
Can I consult legal counsel here? Is that the more appropriate?
Date? We just need a date.
Well, so that's
for the next. I would say the next our next meeting.
Well, my only thing is the next meeting, which is the first Thursday of November. Is that going to give enough time to get one? Because we basically need all the questions provided from yourself, Ms. Morgan. You were the one who said you were going to listen to the tape and provide it. So that's, I'm not throwing you under the element.
No. And that's fine. I can have that to you next week. At least the.
Okay. So then
the questions that were asked, I can have that for you next week.
So basically we'll have those questions next week. So then essentially 3, maybe 4 weeks, is that going to give you enough time to get the answers to those questions?
Well, sure. I mean, we keep saying all the questions. I continue to hear. 2 or 3 questions, which
well, the legal questions are not easy to answer.
Well, they can get a legal.
That's why I don't necessarily want to say continue to the next meeting because I don't know if that's going to be enough time. That's why I said table it. So, but continuing is better.
Continuous is better. That's what I'm.
Okay.
And we would do it. Wouldn't this a December meeting?
So continue it to the next meeting. And if you don't have the answers, then we'll continue it to the next meeting. I mean, that
the November meeting has nothing on the agenda right now. So the 1 minute deadline.
So December 7th would be the
2 months. So does that December 7th?
I'm fine with that. It's just whether or not there's enough time.
And if Joe, the motion is seconded. That,
well, I guess
if it doesn't work out, we'll push it out longer.
Yeah, I guess we'll wait to hear from you of what exactly the questions are.
Hopefully within the next week.
Seems reasonable.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the motion is, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
You need a second.
Right. So the motion is to continue this till the December 7th meeting. Is there a second?
This is Catherine, a second.
Okay. So there's a motion to continue this issue, and we will get the questions of the petitioner. Thank you for being receptive to our feedback. Eileen, how do you vote?
Yes. Yes. Eileen.
Lisa. Yay.
So we're continuing this till we're going to get the petitioner the questions, and we'll continue it till the December 7th. So Nick votes yes. Catherine.
Catherine votes yes.
John, yes.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you all for thank you for being receptive to our feedback.
Thanks for the opportunity to present our idea to you tonight.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. I did not know that was going to be controversial. But I also didn't know all the ramifications, so there you go. Okay, we have other business.
Yes.
Wait till everybody kind of leaves. So we have a couple of updates. Excuse me. We have a couple of updates to the master plan and guidelines. Of other business. A couple of updates on the Civil War monument. The first one is the master plan and guidelines, the Civil War monument text, the revised text for the master plan and guidelines. And
yes. Caitlin. So it turned out that it came up last time that the incorrect verbiage was in the master plan and guidelines, but upon checking the recent one that changed in September of last year, it actually had been. We were already good to go on that front. So I just highlighted the two parts where it appears.
Okay, so that's already been changed and voted on by City Council. We don't have to do anything more for that.
That's all done.
Okay, well there you go, Sean. That was easy.
And then
say it's me.
You were the one that brought it up. I don't have a problem with it. It didn't occur to me. So that's okay. Check.
All right.
That one's done.
Yes.
Great. Fantastic. And then we have the Civil War Memorial on the city website, the text update, which it's done. Yay.
It's done.
Amazing.
Well,
I have an issue with this language, but I'm not going to beat a dead horse here. Sean. Do you have a question? I think this text could be improved.
I know exactly what you're going to say, which is the Civil War Memorial is not to the Confederate dead. It's according to the 2020,
it's to the Union soldiers and
all the dead of the Civil War, not the traitors. Sorry, I'm reading an Andrew Jackson book, and yet.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the Confederacy was traitors.
Right.
Period, I don't care.
I don't know. City, Luciana, come on up.
Yes, Luciana. Oh, history buff here.
So yeah, that was my issue. It is true that it was erected by the Savannah Ladies Memorial Association as a memorial to Savannah's Confederate dead. That is correct. But then it doesn't say anything about the name change and all that sort of thing.
Because we are still in some legal limbo with a lot of issues.
Okay.
So the way this was reworded was to address just the factual history of the monument going back. And I'm sorry, I didn't say Luciana Spraker with the City Municipal Archives.
Explain the legal limbo with the language.
You're saying you, it's not discussing some of the stuff from the task force reports.
Right.
And so the second task force report has not been, those recommendations have not been approved by council.
I was under the impression they have been.
The first task force report, not the second.
So the second task force has not, okay.
They have not voted on those. And, so staff has not taken action on those recommendations because they have not been formally officially approved.
Okay. I thought that they were formally officially approved.
Not the second round of recommendations.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that it was like one of the outgoing actions of the previous administration, passed and authorized the removal, the moving of the Waving Girl statue, and then also.
So as the city staff liaison with the task force that helped prepare all those reports, I can tell you the first task force met under Eddie DeLoach's administration.
Right.
And those were approved, but those are the ones that cannot move forward. The second task force, which met under Mayor Johnson's administration, those have not been formally approved by City Council. That was under this administration.
That is the missing information that I guess we didn't have. I was under the impression that those had been approved.
No.
So the interpretive signage.
And that's why there's been no action on them, because staff is not authorized to do things.
Thank you for that clarification, because the interpretive signage is in the second task force. Well, I will not curse on the record, but okay. Thank you for that clarification. Okay. So we need City Council to act on it. That's why. So City Council hasn't acted on that, on the second task force recommendation. So there you go. Well, good thing it's an election season. Yes, sir. Come on, come ahead and just state your name for the record. No problem. I wasn't sure which one you were here for, but yeah, jump on. If you just state your name for the record.
I was just frustrated with that last one because like emergency vehicles have to get through there. I've seen them go through there. That can't happen. Anyways,
no problem.
David Tootle, running for City Council. I'm suing the city over Calhoun Square. I'm here because I've got something here from Calhoun Square that y'all are going to take up. And I just want you to know there's a preliminary injunction happening right now. So they legally can't do anything to the square yet. They can't change.
So we're not talking about the square right now.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to put that out there because it's a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
Okay. That's not on our agenda to talk about today.
Okay. I got this and it said it was. So
with the for the square
change,
no, it has to do with the
text change on the already approved marker.
I hear you.
That's why I wanted a point of clarification here.
Okay. No problem. You confused me there.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But I just want to make you aware this is going to go all the way up to the Georgia Supreme Court. It could take a while. So if you approve anything here, whatever, you're wasting your time. Cause I mean, and I don't want to waste taxpayers' dollars.
Good luck
especially
with that.
Especially if I become a city councilman, a county commissioner.
Okay, so, thank you, sir. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
We got that on the record?
Yep, that's all on the record. Okay, moving along to the item number 5 on other business, additional sculptural letter installation. So this is just for informational purposes.
Right. Yeah. We just touched on that a little during the other presentation. If you wanted to see it again, I can pull it back up.
same
deal as the other one.
No one wants to hear it.
Yeah, that's literally it, but this isn't being reviewed anyway. So,
but we will be revisiting that issue.
Yeah.
Of the downtown. So how about the item number 6 would be the staff discussion for the petition of the city of Savannah regarding Taylor Square, which is what the gentleman was here earlier referring to. Were you all, so he is suing the city to put the name of Calhoun back on the square. He has a heavy lift ahead of him. Yes. I'm not a lawyer, but he's got his work cut out for him.
Did he say he's running for
office? He's running for county commissioner. Moving along.
All right.
Staff discussion for the petition of the city of Savannah for Taylor Square, the text revision of the existing ground marker. And this is the stone marker that was discussed when we were hearing the petition for the naming of Taylor, what is now Taylor Square.
Yes, so that was from the August 3rd meeting, and this was just a revision of the text for a little more clarification. So what it previously said and then what the revision was, just gives a little more detail, but still remain brief.
I like the second version. I think, yes. What do y'all think? I mean, that's what it should say. That feels like that's what it should say, because that. Thanks for that. And so that was to be clear, that was a staff.
Right, a staff decision. Just because it was a minor change to something that had already been approved.
And so that would have to, and that'll still go to city council, or that's just us.
I think that's just us.
Okay.
Or does it? It does still go to city council.
That's what I thought.
What is this going on?
It was a small ground marker, a granite ground marker within Taylor Square.
Okay.
It's like a grant. Yeah, it's like the little stone granite thing. Yeah, a rock thing. That's the technical term for it. Okay, moving along. Item number 7, which is the staff decision for the petition of the City of Savannah regarding West River Street, the African American Monument. This is the infill script on the monument. And if you all remember, we did an email about this. Were you all familiar with this? So they were just going to, well, I'll let staff explain.
Yeah, and they were just going to fill, there's a quote from Maya Angelou that's very hard to read. It's the same color as the granite. It's just kind of like embedded in there, but they just wanted to put a shadow, lithochrome shadow masonry stain so that it was just more readable to visitors.
And again, this was a staff level approval.
Right, because that was...
Now, is this happening immediately?
I believe so, yeah. And that's, they're working with Landmark Preservation, so that's, I think, yeah, they want to get that going.
Cool.
So those are just our two rare staff decisions that we just happened to get this month.
This was a livelier meeting than I expected.
Agreed.
Luciana, thank you again for taking the time.
Thank you.
And giving us that bit of information, because I was definitely not aware of that. So thank you. That clarifies a lot.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be on their agendas.
Well, it's not going to be on anybody's agenda unless we get it on there.
Okay. Well.
But it's an election season. So any other questions or comments?
I have a comment.
Oh, yes.
If we are complete.
Any other questions or comments? Eileen?
Yeah.
I have a comment too that was brought up during the sign application. You know, going through our guidelines and plan, you know, we've got statements like not utilized for special events and, you know, placement of markers. And the whole purpose of this sign was for interaction.
Right.
So sometime, I'm not saying tomorrow, I think we need to, you know, kind of look at some of that, because if our definitions of what is sites and monuments purview, you know, and things like this come up that don't fall at all into those parameters. So just my suggestion.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Yeah. Thanks, Eileen. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Lisa has a very bittersweet message to deliver us.
It wasn't easy, but this is my last meeting. I know, Eileen. And I wrote a little something because it wasn't easy, so I just wanted to I'm going to read it because I'm horrible at public speaking off my head. It has been a great honor being a commissioner on the Savannah-Chatham County Historic Site and Monument Commission. The best part is serving with the current chair, Christopher Monroe, past chair, Dr. Nicholas Henry, along with Thomas Gensheimer, Ashley Range, Catherine D. Kolstilnik. Did I say your name right? Okay. Eileen Baker, Alicia Miller Blakely, and my fellow advocate for native plant species, Sean Mannion. I'm counting on you. I've learned so much from all of you, so thank you for your service. I also want to thank the hard and incredible work that the Metropolitan Planning Commission does each month to gather as much information possible for us to make clear decisions. It meant a lot to me that you added my material research to the mural policy to make paint items in the process better. I think, Ryan, you helped with that a little bit. In the past 4 years, my native garden business, along with my art exhibitions, have grown. I need to put all my focus on them, along with my plant conservation work. I realized I didn't need to spend over 30 hours of research for the square renaming, but I did. So volunteerism is beautiful, but shouldn't affect one's livelihood. Although there are only three petitions I did not agree on, there are few that really made me proud to be part of the process, the Waving Girl statue, the square renaming, but most of all, the historical marker for the Kia House, which is the most heartfelt moment of this past 4 years, for sure. And I will take that with me as I try to make Savannah, the city I love, a better place for all of us. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I've served on this commission earlier and another one, and that's the most gracious exit I've heard.
Aww.
I also have a certificate to present to you. And I just want to say a word. I mean, Lisa, I say this to every, I really appreciate serving with all of you, particularly Lisa. Yeah, all of you are very thoughtful, and all of these decisions are very considered. And when Lisa said she spent 30 hours on the square thing, I was just like, okay, you know, that's dedication, because we're not getting paid. And that I know that you take the job seriously, and I really appreciate it. It's really going to be sad not you not being here, but yeah, official. But you'll be missed, Lisa, but thank you for your service.
I know.
Thank you for your service, Lisa.
What? It's residents tell me that SAV was stop all visitors, EAS, best second. How is Savannah for best second?
Okay, moving on. Any other new business? Thank you for your service, Lisa.
Thank you,
okay.
Lisa.
Meeting is adjourned.